Well, brethren, we live in really dark times in our country, around this world, various issues going on. I had copied off a message given by Lena, the president's wife of Ukraine. Very moving. She appealed to, obviously, a full audience, but really appealed to the women and even the American women. She's got concerned about her husband, just like other Ukrainian women right now, mothers, wives that are not knowing whether their loved one, they'll ever see him again, whether they'll survive the war. She's a mother of two children. She's a young woman yet. They're still in her early 40s. And they are in the midst of being a target. It's been announced by the Russians that he's number one on their target list, and she and her children are number two. That's hard to believe that we live in a world of that sort of atrocity, but we do. And it's been exhibited before in their history that they eliminate some of the people of power. So there's war in Ukraine. Supply chain problems in this United States, border crises, threat of terrorist attacks, price increases, inflation running wild, religious persecution, as we heard in the sermonette, censorship on the way, possibly. Total projection or rejection of the true God in His laws. Sound familiar? You know, we've seen this happen before, but now it's very intensified. And we look at the surroundings around us and we think, wow, what's this world coming to? This is the world we live in now, and it is covered with darkness and gloom and is increasing daily. This is the new norm. It's what we've learned to accept of recent since COVID came around. And now we're seeing various end-time prophecies starting to really take shape. You know, we could talk about what's happening in the Israeli part of the world down there in the Middle East, with the different parties coming together, where alliances are being formed, driven by greed in many cases, and the price of oil going up. But you've got the UAE and Saudi Arabia all joining together in unification. The Pope is pushing, as we heard, the world order of religion, and you got suddenly what we thought would be sometime in the distance. How about the King of the North? I mean, you think about it. What's happening in Ukraine is starting to unite Europe and move them along a lot faster in their development of their own protection. And we're feeding that King of the North with a lot of armament right now. Planes, materials, whatever. So we're kind of giving them a kickstart. But they're going to unify. And that's part of what we expect happening at this time. The power of darkness comes from Satan the devil, as we know. Satan is the one who is making the whole world crazy. No logic, no common sense, or seeking after God for direction. We're looking around for all sorts of answers, but God has the answer. But we won't look there. We'll look somewhere else. And we see common sense going out the window. Logic, you would think, and you hear some of these people making some of the pronouncements they do in government. And I'm in the energy field and know the statistics. And what they're telling you is just not true. I mean, anybody who's deeply embedded in the oil or energy will tell you when it comes to fossil fuel, we're not running out anytime soon, that's for sure. So anyway, we'll let that go at that time. That's another start of the subject. Well, in Revelation 17, verse 9, we have a very interesting statement here. And you have to excuse me. I woke up this morning with I don't have a sore throat, but boy, am I dry. Boy, I don't know if anybody else is. But it says here, Satan is deceiving the whole world. And, of course, he's doing that very quickly and easily. The whole world is worshiping Satan, the devil, and his way of life. The whole world is covered in darkness as we see it. This is a setting and a stage of fulfilling Revelation 13 and the beast power. It's critical that we understand what we know is coming down line. We can read prophecy and know we should be warned. God is warning us constantly about what is coming ahead. Now, I know that's hard to grasp sometimes because you don't want to hear bad news. You don't want to think about some of these things that might be coming along. I think Ukraine is a wake-up call of how quickly a peaceful nation can be brought to rubble. Reminds me one time years ago when Frank Schnee was the German minister in charge of the German work. This is years ago. I went to meet with Axel Springer, one of the chief magazine publishers in Germany, and his office is right on the Berlin Wall, overlooking No Man's Zone. Big picture window. Sit at his desk, sit across from him, and you look right out at No Man's Zone. I went across with Frank to Checkpoint Charlie, and for at least a half mile deep into eastern Germany at that time was just rubble. What war had done ravaged, they left it. They didn't change anything. They left it just as it was at the end of the war. And that's pretty shocking. You can see pictures. But when you see it personally, and you see that they don't have Bibles, and you have people with machine guns watching you everywhere you go when you're there. And so we were there for a short time visiting some people. Then we were ushered back onto the bus very quickly because at that point in time, somebody had tried to come across No Man's Zone. They wanted all the people to come out, so they put us on with machine guns, searched us, put us on, took us back across. I was glad to see Western Berlin again, believe me. So anyway, that's reality. That's what we're living through. We're seeing it again intensify. So in Revelation 18, verse 4, here's a direct warning from God. He's telling us ahead of time. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. I mean, this is a direct warning from God Almighty, who's saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. A direct warning from God to say, look, I'm telling you ahead of time, it's coming. Beware, be prepared. We heard that in the sermonette. You need to be studying. All of us do. I do a lot more than I did. And I thought I'd studied quite a bit, but I realized there's just a lot I need to know more. In Colossians 1 and verse 10, he says here, he's talking about your condition as a Christian, how we should be. And he says here in context, quote, in verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, which should be our desire, that we please God always, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has, God, that is, delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son, of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood and forgiveness of sins. So when you look at the scriptures, I mean, it's very clear what God has in mind, how we should walk, how should we conduct ourselves, telling us about the future, telling us about what's coming, but what is most important, what we heard in the sermon about life itself, and that's eternal life. Well, we got the Passover coming up. And it's a great time, gave a sermon on this in Fort Worth a couple of weeks ago, that we need to be earnestly preparing for the Passover. Not just waiting until the last minute to grab your bucket and your towel and head off to services. But I mean really deeply search yourself, study ahead of time, prepare yourself for the Passover and the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us that so we could have eternal life. And that's very important that we have that attitude in mind and the way we conduct our life. Let's go to 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. So many times God says, I'm pulling you out of darkness, out of Satan's influence. I want you to come into the light of my Son, Jesus Christ, and what He taught. He is the light. But in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, I've read this many times, but I'm taking it in a different context here. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people." That is, if we obey His laws and commandments, there's conditions to everything that we have in God's law. You have to do something for it. You have to overcome. You have to change. You got to be repentant of your sins and change your life. Not a free ticket. "Your own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Because prior to our calling, we were in darkness. We were part of this satanic world we live in. We knew not the truth. We didn't know what life was going to be like. I used to contemplate that quite often when I was a kid, you know. They talk about being in heaven and playing harps and all that sort of thing. And I thought, well, that sounds pretty boring. I don't want any part of that. And I realized later on in life that God has something much more important and much more active in terms of what we're being called to do. "Well, we were called out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy through Jesus Christ's sacrifice," of course. He provided that opportunity that opened that door for us. Let's go to John 14 and verse 25. This is Jesus talking to His disciples here and the people around Him. John 14, verse 25. He said, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, it will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you." And that word of Jesus Christ has been passed down to us in His word, in His scriptures, that we can have access to what Jesus Christ actually taught His disciples. And so we need to remember that through God's Holy Spirit, and we'll talk about that in just a second, that we have the knowledge that we can understand these things of God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2, one of my favorite scriptures here. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10. Very powerful scripture here. I remember when we were first starting to understand what this actually meant and the depth and importance of it. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. "But God has revealed them to us," the deep things of God, that is, through His Spirit, "for the Spirit searches all things," yes, the deep things of God, "for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him?" So when God created us, made us out of the dust of the ground, breathed life into us to give us life, He gave us a spirit of human ability to be able to have, contemplate, have intellect, and all that. But we were not complete at that point. God made us that way. We had to learn and develop through God's Spirit the rest of that story. "Even so, no man knows," or no one knows, "the things of God except the Spirit of God." In other words, if you don't have the Spirit of God, it makes you complete. You can't understand. I can look at the book. I can read it. I can maybe expound on it, but I don't really understand it. Don't understand the purpose of life. Men have been contemplating that forever. And it's all written down for us. But you have to have God's Holy Spirit to be able to understand what God is saying. And with that, we've been blessed that God, through baptism, through repentance, the laying on of hands, we made a covenant with Jesus Christ, and God gave us His Spirit, opened up our minds to be able to understand the Word of God and His instructions. He said, "But even though no one knows things of God except the Spirit of God, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." So that's a beautiful gift that God's given us. We think about these things, we can't take them for granted. These are gifts from God that we've been given His Spirit. We've been called out of this world, out of darkness. We were lost. I didn't know where I was going. I wasn't looking for God at all when He called me. But I'm thankful He did, because He's given us a freedom to be able to understand His way of life and what we can anticipate in the future. to have life everlasting in his kingdom and have a future that's going on and on into eternity. Now, whatever God has in mind and plans at that point in time, I'm sure they're pretty extensive. John 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. Now, he didn't say he was darkness. Now, he said, I am the light of the world. In contrast to Satan, who is, I am the darkness of this world. Satan is the adversary, as we know. He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the life, light of life. So we know that this is a blessing that God's given us, that we can come out of the darkness that's surrounding us in the way of life that we have. In Psalms 27, verse 1, it says, 27, verse 1 is the psalm. The Lord is my light. He's my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. So God says, look, you don't have anything to fear. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But God says, look, I am the light, and my salvation is with me. Whom shall I fear? If we have that relationship with God, this is what the world needs to know. If we turn to God, a lot of these things would go away. But we reject God constantly. Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Obey my word and keep my commandments. We hear this over and over again. Obey my voice. Obey my commandments. Keep my commandments. I've given them to a purpose. It's a roadmap to a future, eternal life. And yet we reject that. We do away with them. We change them. We alter them. I mean, I looked at some of the things, even when I was a boy, growing up as a Catholic, which I didn't know anything about the Bible. But anyway, they've changed even since I was a boy. Now, people say, well, that's a long time ago. So, anyway. But yeah, they changed their teachings. And some of the commandments that were in the old catechisms, you might say, have been changed and altered to meet modern needs. Let's go to Acts 26 and verse 14. Very important here because it really does apply to us in many ways as Paul's calling. But in Acts 26 and verse 14, this is Jesus Christ calling Saul, which we just heard was standing by when Stephen was being stoned, even holding the coats of those that were stoning. And he was certainly for it. But he says here, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he then says, I, Paul, is speaking, responding back, who are you, Lord? And he said, this is Jesus, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a minister and as a witness both of what you have seen and what I shall reveal to you. I am personally selecting you. Now, when I look around this room, I don't know if there's a Paul in this room or not. That's up to God. But I know that each one of you have been personally selected by God. You were called, given a choice. You made that choice, and you're here today being part of God's family. It's pretty special when you think about that. Paul had a particular calling here, a unique one. He said, for this purpose, to appoint you as a minister and a witness both of what you have seen and what I shall reveal to you. I am personally selecting you from among the people and the Gentiles to whom I now send you to open their eyes, that is to understand the word of God and the gospel, that they may turn from darkness to light. And from the authority of Satan to God. That's a pretty powerful statement. You know, many times I've read that scripture, I didn't read it from that point of view sometimes. And they may turn from darkness to light. And the from the authority of Satan to God. It's very specific, and that has a message for us as well, obviously, because he's called us out of the world and selected us and turned us from darkness, the authority of Satan, to the authority of God, if we yield to him. So we need to do that. We need to be aware of that. What is happening? God sent Jonah. I was thinking about the calling of Jonah when he was called as a prophet to go to Nineveh. And God said, "Say, Jonah, I got a task for you. I want you to go over here to Nineveh, and they're sinning terribly, but I want you to tell them to repent." And Jonah just looked at God and said, "Yeah, no way. I know what you're going to do. You're going to trick me. You're going to have me over there give that message to God or to the people of Nineveh, and they're going to repent. And I'm going to look like a fool. I'm not going to do that." So he ran away, got on the ship, got thrown over, swallowed by a whale, and spit up on the shoreline and said, "Whoa, wow, I guess he's serious about this thing. I better go do the job." So he ends up going to Nineveh, and sure enough, he preaches the gospel. He warns them about what God said he was going to do. He's going to destroy the city if they didn't change. So what did the king do? Started at the top. The king said to the people, if I can find where I had that in my notes here somewhere. But anyway, he repented and he commanded that all the people of the nation would repent, turn to God, and that included, he fasted and the animals have fasted as well. I mean, this was thorough. And God did what he promised. He gave another 50 years of life until they started going back to their old ways again, which seems like to be man does every time somebody repents of something. Sure enough, you got to really stay the course or you'll turn back to the old way, Satan's influence. And that seemed to be the way it was. But he said, the king said, let every man, the decree from the king was, let every man and woman turn from their evil ways. So God is not going to listen unless there is deep repentance. So we need to be on our knees all the time asking God for forgiveness and repent. And it's a good time coming up for Passover that we think about that. And that has to start right in the churches and the synagogues with the religious leaders of this world. That is not likely to happen. No, I can't see it happening. They're so deeply set in their ways and their spiritual idol worship that changing to keeping the Sabbath. You know, they had a conference that took place in Florida just recently talking about religious leaders from all over. What do we need to do to change the way this world is going and the corruption of it? Not one mention about changing from Sunday keeping to Sabbath, which is one of the biggest commandments we have in the whole scriptures. But they've rejected that and gone their own way, and that's part of the problem. So God wants deep repentance. And that's the power of darkness when the churches, where Satan's influence is. I know that some of you have been in the Vatican in Rome. Have you ever noticed on the back wall, there is a chair, kind of quarter way up, just a chair, all black, shrouded, and there's a chair sitting at an angle on the wall in the Vatican, St. Peter's. Now, I won't speculate who's sitting in that chair or who might be sitting in that chair, but it's all black and shrouded. And I know that one of the articles I just read about this gentleman that heads up this world forum, a financial forum, they have an extra chair at the table. They have all the leaders that they have there for that meeting. They have one extra chair with an envelope and a folder in front of it. And they fully admit that that's open for Satan, the devil, to sit in that meeting. And these are powerful financial heads that are directing this whole world. And that's public information. That's not me making it up. You can read about it. And it's pretty scary when you think about who's controlling this world and how few there are that are really determining the future of our nations and our country. It's pretty powerful when you get into some of this material. Let's go to Isaiah 60, verse 1. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Excuse me, my voice is crazy today. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Verse 2, for beyond darkness shall cover the earth. When we think about that, he's saying here, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. When did that ever happen, where darkness covered the whole earth? Well, you go to Genesis 1, verse 2, you realize it says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Back before Satan's rebellion. What did God have to do? He had to come down and sort that whole situation out because they had gotten perverted ways through Satan's leadership. He had to destroy that world at that time with the first flood. And he reestablished and redeveloped and replanted, you might say, the earth, and then formed human beings. And here we are. We started down the line. But will it happen again? Because he's talking here in Isaiah, talking about a future as well. In verse 2, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. It's a time in the future. There will come a time at the end when Satan will rule over this whole earth and be battling against the return of Jesus Christ. That's when darkness will be over the face of the earth again, one more time. So we can realize that that is something we can realize is coming in the future. But how bad is it going to get? We don't know yet, but it says in Matthew 24, and we'll read that, the very words of Jesus Christ says, and there will not be trouble like this, nor has been since the creation of the world. So we haven't seen anything yet. It's just the beginning. Don't know how long we've got. Don't know whether this is the beginning of the end, but we're missing a good bet if it isn't. But there are certainly conditions, and you look at the leadership in Russia with Putin, he's asking for war. He's not trying to avoid war. He wants World War III, and he's determined to get it some way or other. He's pushing everybody. He just announced, what was it, the day before? He's challenged the United States and says, come on, you think you're mighty? You got nothing. So he's already challenging the United States to get into this thing. Because he says, look, I'll take you down anytime. He's not afraid of Biden, unfortunately. We have a president that's not, what you might say, very strong in many ways. I won't comment on that. That's not my job. But in Isaiah 8 and verse 20, we see a testimony here. It says, Isaiah 8, verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, the Old and New Testament, if they do not speak according to this word, is because there is no light in them. So if we're not using the Bible and we're not teaching it what it says and not trying to change what God says and not trying to alter what God says, he says it's a warning. If we do not speak according to this word, God's word, is because there is no light in them. That's a warning. And they shall pass through the land hard-pressed and hungry, and it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall rave and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look to the land and behold trouble and darkness and gloom of anguish. And they shall be driven away into darkness. Won't improve their condition. It only gets worse. Seems like when conditions like that, they turn away from God and curse God for bringing this on them. They blame him. Matthew 6 and verse 22. Matthew 6 and verse 22. The lamp of the body is the light eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? See, if you turned yourself over to Satan's way of life, then it will just be growing continuously, and that's where this world is heading now, it seems like. They don't turn to God. They turn away. They get angry at God. They don't want any part of him. And anybody who's trying to preach that is not acceptable. Isaiah 9, verse 2. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. They who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light has shined. So why is it that people love darkness? You notice that? You go into, I remember, first time I went out of England back into Pasadena, One of the guys took us to a restaurant, and it was pitch black in there. You couldn't even get your eyes adjusted for about 15 minutes before you could see anything. And I was thinking, well, I don't know what we're eating, but it's awfully dark in here. I'm afraid to ask. Anyway, so people try to hide things in the darkness, and that seems to be the way it is. They seek darkness, and they do. Christ came as the light of the world. He was the light, but they rejected him. And that's a lot of people just don't believe in God anymore. They don't want any part of him in that way of life. In John 3 and verse 18, John 3 and verse 18, the one who believes in him is not judged, but the one who does not believe has already been judged because he has not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world. That was Jesus Christ's first coming. But men love darkness rather than light. They just don't want to repent, brethren. So the people don't want to change their lifestyle. Pretty happy with where it continues on. Because their works were evil, for everyone who practices evil hates the light. And they ended up killing Christ when he first came. That's what we're facing today. People hate walking in a way that they want to do what they want to do when they want to do it. They don't want to hear any instructions to the contrary. They don't want to hear God's way of life. They're willing to take the consequences, unfortunately. And God is going to take away all their pleasures and all their food and their water. And when that happens, it's going to be just like it was prophesied. He goes on in John 3 and says, and does not come to light so that his works may not be exposed, but the one who practices the truth comes to the light. And that was what we must do. We must come to God's teaching, Jesus Christ's teaching, through prayer, study, understanding the Word of God, and by keeping the commandments of God. That's a requirement. That's what we have to do to be able to survive in this world that's coming around us very quickly. We can ignore it. We can accept it, you know, and have to listen to me on what we're saying here, but that's going to happen whether we like it or not. God is going to do that. We must understand our commitment to God is 100%. It's not a compromise. God is conditional, he says, on his terms, on his conditions. That's the way we have to live our life. We can't compromise with that. We'll say, oh, well, I can kind of do this. I don't have to do exactly what God says. Maybe if I can get by with just a little bit less. It doesn't work that way. We have to be totally committed. If we've taken this walk, the walk with God, then we have to be totally committed to God's way of life. His condition, his circumstances, his terms. And that's what he demands of each and every one, because we've been given the promise of eternal life to be one of the firstborn, first fruit of God. It's a very special calling, brethren. Hope we all realize that. I know I hit on that quite often. But that's probably one of the most important things we keep in our mind always, is that we're part of the first fruits of God. There is nobody else going to have the same kind of blessing and conditions of calling that we have currently. Now, other people will be in the kingdom of God, no question about it, but not with the same status that we will. Let's go to 1 John 2. 1 John 2, chapter 3, or verse 3. 1 John 2, verse 3. And by this standard, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. That's all of them. We don't make changes to them. They're what he first set down. The one who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar. Now, that's scripture. That's not Ray Wright saying that. It says that they are a liar. Every Sunday and holiday keeper who says they know Jesus is, according to Jesus, a liar. Now, I wouldn't go up to somebody and tell them that personally. It's not my job. I can tell them where they're going the wrong direction and what is the truth. But we have to do it with mercy. But these are strong words from Jesus Christ. You must keep the commandments of God. And if we don't, we're living in darkness and we wonder why it's all around us. But in verse 5 of 1 John 2, And then verse 5. On the other hand, if anyone is keeping his word, truly this one knows the love of God, is being perfected. By this means we know that we are in him, so that we're not swept aside with this power of darkness that's coming on the whole world. Again, it's a warning from God. He says this darkness is coming on the whole world that's surrounding us right now as we sit here. Verse 6, he's anyone who claims to dwell in him is obligating himself also to walk even as he himself walked. So he said, if we're going to accept this way of life, then we're obligated to walk in that same way of life that Jesus Christ walked in. It's a high standard, and in this world of darkness around it, it's a very difficult thing. I'm not saying it's easy. We all attest to that. Sometimes it's very difficult to keep God's way of life. There's things you'd rather do or whatever, run around with some other people, young people. Hey, I was a young person once, believe it or not. And very tempting to walk and run with your fellow friends doing things that are contrary to God's teaching. But the reward is much greater if you follow God's way of life, and a lot more satisfying, believe me. Because every solution coming out of this way's world, all the solutions they come up with is some perverted way of thinking. I know the latest one of the states is now looking at is that a person can have a birth, a lady can have a birth, and it be a birth live baby 28 days into their life, and they can leave them to die, and it's not a crime. That's just a born abortion. And they think it may even pass the Senate of that state. That's how perverted we've gotten. That read like something that you read in the Old Testament, what Israel did, sacrificing their children. So disgusting to think of how we think of some of these things even. Just can't even imagine it. Proverbs 4. In verse 18. But the path of the just is like the shining light that shines more and more to the perfect day. And that's the way we need to be living our life. That we're the perfect shining example to the world around us. You know, we might be living in darkness. Doesn't mean we have to be part of that darkness. We're the light. Jesus Christ was the light that came to this earth. He's looking down at us now from where he is. And he sees these lights. Not very many. Very few, but there's lights. Part of those lights are in this room right now. Maybe all of them in this light. And God sees that light and know that his way of life, there's a remnant of that light that's in this world today. May not be very many, but there are a few. So let's read it again. The way of the wickedness is darkness. They know not why they stumble. Why? Because every solution coming out of their mind is not according to God's way of life. Now, David was a man after God's own heart. I know when I first came into church, that was hard for me to fathom that God says David was a man after his own heart. And I was thinking, look, I read about David. And he did. He killed people. He was adulterous. I mean, he did all sorts of things. How could he be a man after God's own heart? Well, because God says when you repent, you're a righteous man standing before him. What a beautiful thing that is. You think about that. I don't know about you, but I've sinned in my life and still do. I'm so thankful that God says if I repent of that sin, I stand before him clean, complete. I am a righteous person at that point. He's put that sin way off in the distance somewhere. That's what he did with David. David was a man who had problems. He was a human being. He made mistakes. Talks about Psalm verse 26 because David talks about his condition and some of the things he went through and how he needed God in his life, even though he knew he was a sinner. Psalms 26 and verse 1. David says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord without wavering. Examine me, O Lord, or test me, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, that I have walked in your truth." David was a repentant man. He was not perfect. So I ask you the question, just like I ask myself, am I walking in the truth of God every day, all day? Am I following His conditions, His terms of life? Are we walking in the love of God? Do we have that unconditional love for one another, that we have the same love that God has for each of us? Are we exhibiting that love for our fellow person, our fellow man? Verse 4, "I have not sat with deceitful men, neither will I go in with hypocrites." And of course, we've experienced that in the church of God. What happens when we sat with deceitful men? Well, God took it so long and finally did away with the church altogether. And some of us old timers were there when that happened. Now we had a chance to regroup, repent, change, and teach God's word again. Psalm 27, verse 1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Now, anybody who sees the condition of this world that we live in, certainly is a frightening thing to think about. But God said, you don't need to be afraid. You can see the things happening, but you don't need to be afraid or fear. Because God is with you. You need to recognize that God is with you. God is in you through the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Angels are about you. They will protect you. God did not say we wouldn't have trials. But He says, I will always be with you and I will never leave you. Not unless you reject Him. I don't know about you, but I need God in my life all the time. Every day of my life. I need God standing by to help me. Because sometimes life is not that easy to deal with. Psalm 27, verse 11. "Teach me your way, O Lord, that we may need not the ideas of men, but the way of man, not ways of man. And lead me in the evil path because of my enemies." So God's saying, and we'll wrap it up here with 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 16, very important. "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you," speaking to you and me, "are the temple of the living God." If you've been baptized, receive God's Holy Spirit. He said, "For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." They shall be my people. All brethren, every one of us are the people of God. You think about that. We are going to be citizens of the kingdom of God. Very children of God. Verse 17, "Therefore come out of her, come out of the midst of them, and be separate, says the Lord. And touch not the unclean, and I will receive you." These are promises from God. I will receive you. Think about that. "And I shall be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." These are promises from God that we can count on. Something we need to always keep in mind. We live in a world that's full of darkness. Satan has a rule right now, but that will come to an end shortly. And Jesus Christ will return, rule over the whole earth. And we have been called to be part of that group that will be ruling over the people of the earth in the millennial period as spirit beings. Now that's a beautiful promise and a future we can't deny. So I hope that we keep these things in mind and the conditions in the world and what's going on in Ukraine that could spill over into the rest of the world very rapidly. We can see how quickly it turned in Ukraine from threats to reality. And that reality is pretty brutal, pretty cruel. The atrocities are mounting every day. And that could be our reality in the near future. So we need to be praying on our knees and be thinking about these things and praying for the people over there and what's happening to them, and keep them in mind always.